Welcome, everybody. My name is Daniel, your host.
And I'm Jose, your other host.
Today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit on kind of like fitness. You know, it's getting close to the end of the first month of the year. And everybody's got those fitness goals. Everybody wants to get in shape. You know, new year, new me, new body. So we have our couch potato today, Harrison. He's kind of a
power lifter.
And a personal trainer. So we're going to be bringing you guys some other topics as well, and stay tuned for that.
Yeah, so Harrison here, our couch potato, he's actually a close friend of mine. And won't you tell everyone how we met?
Oh, God. I was in anatomy class, anatomy AMP1, and I was just sitting there wanting to be left alone, and Jose walks up out of nowhere and just goes, what's your name?
Oh, man.
Hi. We were in kindergarten or something.
I just sit like right next to him, and I'm like, what's up, man?
It's like, he really did. Like, there's so many empty seats all around.
Oh, he just comes. Good thing you weren't in the bathroom, because then he'd pull up right next to you in the urinals.
There were so many empty seats.
It was perfect because I probably died without Jose being there to die with me.
Yeah.
It was odd, but it paid off.
Yeah, we both died a little that semester.
Yeah, Chris.
Chris. Oh, man.
We had this anatomy teacher who was literally an MMA fighter at the same time.
What? Side hustle or what? Like,
we found him on Facebook one day, and he had his black belt, his jiu-jitsu thing, and a couple pictures of him in a ring. And he brought that intensity to anatomy.
Yeah.
Which was not cool.
Apparently, he's a pretty well-known grappler or something like that.
Yes.
And we had no idea until we decided to look him up on the internet.
And then we noticed that his ears had the screwed up, you know, the cauliflower ears.
Yeah, he had nasty cauliflower ears. Yeah.
Did not like him.
You and him should have been like best friends or something.
We would have been now.
Now, yeah. So,
what year was that you guys met?
2015.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
2015. It's been a minute, right?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago you started training me.
That was fun.
You trained me for like 2 months.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I was jealous because you made really quick gains. And then I blamed it on your genetics being better than mine.
Dude, I need to get back in that. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, since you are a personal trainer, how did that process go? Like, how long did that take to get certified or whatever?
The organization that I went through is ACE, the American Council on Exercise. And I mean, they're a decently well-known thing. And I never knew that the process was so simple. I mean, you can do it in a college setting. You can do like a one or two semester kind of course for it, and you'll get certified. Most of those are through NASM. NASCM, I think, which is they're kind of known as being like the top of the top on the list. They have a little bit more of a rigorous qualifying process, which is cool. But I paid the money. They sent me this book, and it was a go at your own pace kind of thing, which I loved because at the time I was not in school. I had already graduated high school, but I wasn't back in college. So I thought I wanted to do that. Being healthy kind of seemed very appealing to me, especially, you know, considering where I was coming from. And so I studied really hard. It recommended that it was like a 6 to 9 month course, and I took the test after 2.5 months and passed by, shouldn't say this, but passed by 1 point. So, and then it's 2 years continuing education every 2 years you have to get like some updated education, kind of like being a nurse and stuff like that. So it wasn't anything. It was pretty straightforward.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's funny because I was at the gym today and I saw posters for like, oh, come get certified. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just go to this place and then pay the money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty simple.
Yeah, a lot of it really is just pay it and pass a relatively simple course that you can take at your own pace. I mean, this is, when I say simple, I mean just like the most base level understanding. I mean, there's advanced personal trainers there. You can step it up a little bit. You can be an actual strength coach and things like that, which is a little different, but there is no physical test. I will say that.
Okay.
You can be 500 pounds and be a personal trainer. So that's just something to bear in mind, that just because, you know, you got the personal trainer logo doesn't mean that you had to run a 6-minute mile or anything like that.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how long have you been with the whole workout game?
I was into it junior year of high school. I got into it because I wanted to, my cousin was a really talented diver, and he was kind of in the run for possibly going to the Olympics, and he ended up winning freshman diver of the year in the NCAA and stuff like that. So I kind of I was looking at him and looking at all the stuff that he did, and I thought it was really cool. So I started off with trying to just, make beginner gains in the basement, and that was good. And, I made some beginner gains, and then I've always been this way. I can't just kind of settle for something mediocre. So I decided that I wanted to run, a half marathon. And
nice.
Because at the time, my mile time was awful. It was 10 minutes, but about 6 months later, I ran a half marathon, and it ended up being 19 miles because the speedometer or the whatever it's called, the little thing that tracks your distance, kind of screwed up. So I did that, and I was in so much pain. I did it with my cousin, who had never ran before in her life. And
oh my God.
The whole thing took us 5 hours. And I was in so much pain that I have not run since. This is 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago.
Just completely turned off to it.
I hate running now.
Well, this makes you feel better. I haven't done another running since I did a 5K.
I know. You can beef out 5K and just kind of deal with it. But ever since then, I dipped down for a couple of years. Then I wanted to be a powerlifter because I thought that was also something extreme to do. Bodybuilding and the whole bodybuilding side didn't really appeal to me because at the time I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that it's literally art. As in, you're looking at proportions, you're looking at symmetry, you're looking at curvature, eye movement, things like that. I never understood that. I thought it was just big jack dudes with creepy leaf skin veins and stuff. So I gravitated towards powerlifting because it was something that was very easy to measure. How much weight am I lifting? Is the weight going up? Yes or no? And it's very easy to judge that. And for anyone who doesn't know, powerlifting is focusing on your max squat, your max bench, and your max deadlift, and that was all that I prioritized. And I've been doing that for about 4 years now, just nonstop. And there's been a variety of setbacks and injuries and surgeries through there, but it's been what I've fallen in love with. And underneath all that is the basic level of fitness and just being healthy in general. Having a good heart, having good, a good digestive system, things like that. Mm-hmm. So
what are your maxes?
At my strongest, at 180, at 185 pounds or 83.2 kilos, my max squat was 490. My max bench was pretty bad. It was 310 paused. And then my max deadlift was 625 at the time. And
ouch.
I got injured before I was going to do my a meet. When I was still 23 as a junior, and I was hoping to pull a couple state records, but I did not. I was unable to do that. But right now things were a little down because I dealt with, I've been dealing with another injury, but I'm finally kind of rebuilding again and getting things back where they are. And the deadlift has always just seemed to be something that just comes really easily and really natural to me and has never been a big problem while I have these super long arms and I can't bench very well. So I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, fitness. I liked it when I did it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how to put that kind of fitness into my lifestyle just because work is just hectic for me, man.
I mean, there's a difference between being fit and doing a sport. And I think that's something that people need to learn to differentiate. There's a difference between health and fitness and strongman powerlifting,
That's true, yeah.
MMA, stuff like that. Like that, whenever you take something and you decide I'm going to do an extreme version of it, that, and this may be true with all fields, but you are going to run into some things that aren't too good for you. For example, I mean, my, when I peak for a meet or a mock meet, I start to gradually feel like shit. And like my cortisol's through the roof. I'm tired all the time. I have serious joint pain. I mean, I've had a number of injuries from all this stuff, and that's not healthy. That's not being fit per se. And then the dieting, you know, if you MMA, the water cuts, for example, that stuff is awful for you. And what they don't show you after the ESPN weigh-ins are the water IVs that they have to give people in an ambulance, for example. They don't show you all that stuff. So, I mean, you can be healthy and live a really long life and look good, feel good, and then you can take something to an extreme level, which is, or, you know, a more specified area, I should say. Not necessarily extreme, but that's just my take on it.
Yeah. So, I know that you were talking about, like, powerlifting and bodybuilding and stuff like that. So, like, when it comes to trying to, like, do stuff with your body, like lose weight, gain muscle, like get cut, stuff like that, like what kind of like how important are meals, like meal planning, and like mm-hmm. like what kind of meal planning would you recommend for like certain like things like that?
I try to stick, none of this stuff is original. This has all been either taught to me or learned through experimentation, and I've experimented with a lot of different diets, and I'll say this, everything has worked. The most important thing is being consistent. So you can lose weight with Weight Watchers. You can lose weight with the 7-Eleven diet. You can lose weight just eating McDonald's. If you know you're looking to lose weight, it's really not that complicated. Eat less and move more. That's all you have to do. If you're looking to, you know, anything that you do, just be consistent with it. You know, my diet may not be suitable for other people. What I eat, I don't think many people want to do that because I just eat.
What do you eat?
Every day I eat a little over a pound of steak a day. I haven't had a chicken breast in like a year because it's disgusting and just dry, and it's hard to cook unless it's fried and delicious. But I eat about a pound of steak a day if I'm really, really going hard, probably more like a pound and a half. So I cook that every day, and then about 2 cups of white rice, a full sweet potato, and some fruit and milk, and that's it, and a bunch of water. I cut out protein powders because that stuff makes my gut feel all weird. That's what I feel better than ever doing. Now, you know, there's this guy named Stan Efferding, who's a top powerlifter, top bodybuilder. He does both, and he coined the diet, the vertical diet. That's kind of what I follow. And I also, the most important thing of all that is getting good sleep, and also 8 to 10 grams of salt a day. Okay. Stuff like that. That's for performance. It feels great, but
are you ever focused on the calories at all?
I've never counted calories. Okay. It's just so much work. And then a pound of this steak might have more fat than the other pound of steak. So
gotcha.
It's kind of, you know, look in the mirror. If it's coming up to a meet, I just look at the scale every day at the same time and try to just think, what am I going to weigh in the morning, basically. Mm-hmm. No, not really. Right now, I'm trying to lose weight.
Right now, you're trying to lose weight?
Yeah. I'm a little too heavy right now. I'm at like 191 right now. 190. I'd like to be back down to 185 because that's where I feel most comfortable, because yeah. I can shed 2 pounds for meat if I need to. There's many paths to the same, you know, result. It's just being consistent.
Yeah.
Lose weight, eat less, and move more.
Yeah, I remember at my prime fitness level, I think I was weighing like 185, mm-hmm. 180 something pounds, I think. Yeah. And then after I stopped going to the gym every day, I kind of over like a span of like 3 or 4 years, I lost like 15 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that it can happen quickly. If I'm not training, I tend to lose weight really fast. Like when I had the hernia surgery, When I got the hernia, I couldn't power lift because it would explode or whatever. But so I ended up, throughout the process of surgery, I lost 42 pounds.
42 pounds?
Yeah, I went from like 188 down to like 142 because I had no appetite. I didn't feel like eating. It was cool because I was super vascular because like I lost a lot of weight and I felt cool, and now I don't have any of that anymore.
But, vascular.
So I'm kind of upset about
you
it.
Lost
but
a lot of weight and still had your muscles, and you were like,
no. Were you looking like Stewie Griffin?
Yeah, I was looking like. I remember the first day I went back into the gym after like 2.5 weeks post surgery, and I tried to bench and I almost got crushed under like 185 pounds. I was like, fell on my. It was bad.
Oh man. So have you competed in any sort of like fitness or bodybuilding competitions, or what have you? Could you say meets?
Powerlifting. Meets. So what they do is you go squat, bench, deadlift in that order, and you get 3 attempts at each lift. And there's judges. There's certain rules that you have to follow and stuff like the bench, for example. You have to pause on your chest. You can't just bounce it off, which makes it a lot harder. I've done 2 of those and a ton of mock meets where just I'll set a day out like 12 weeks out and just, you know, say I'm just going to try to peak on that day, which is fun because it's not, you know, it's not an actual meet, but I don't know when the next one is that I'll probably do. I mean, they generally run every February and every November or October over here. It's the USAPL.
You get like prizes for winning or something, or like.
I mean, they give like $500 to like the top contestant, but shit's expensive to just compete. I mean, you gotta buy your card, and at this point, it's kind of like not even worth it. The last one that I was supposed to do was in like the October kind of area, and I just said screw it. I don't even have the money for it. I just don't want to spend the money on it. So, especially if I don't feel like I'm going to win, like, there's no point to compete if I didn't think I was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool setting, at least. You meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah, definitely. I could have won.
You definitely would have, especially on the bodybuilding side.
Oh, yeah. That would have been
10 neat. Out of 10 man's arm.
So, since you're a power lifter, obviously, you're always lifting a big number of weights. What do you... what's your opinion on like strict body weight exercises only?
I think they're great. I think they're really great, especially if you are on the closer to 200 pounds side of things, because at that point your body weight is starting to get pretty heavy. Like a 200 pound dude cranking out a set of 10 on pull-ups, it's pretty good. It's not bad at all. There's also ways to make these things much more challenging, if you will. I mean, lunges are great. You get, as far as strength training, I don't think you can get too much from it. But as far as that regular health and fitness, and even as far as bodybuilding and building a pretty decent physique, I think you can definitely benefit a lot from it. I mean, you see those videos of those dudes over in Africa, and they don't have anything to train with except for like a bunch of like sticks and logs. And
yeah,
shit.
Dude,
they
I've
get,
seen that. Yeah,
they get jacked. There's also a bunch of those street calisthenic guys. Like you like pure calisthenics, yeah, I think I'm much more comfortable just standing in one place squatting. I could not do that. I would cripple immediately.
I started challenging myself by adding 100 push-ups and sit-ups to my day, as far mm-hmm. as like, because I do a little bit of lifting too. Mm-hmm. And I like the results so far. It's been 2 weeks,
yeah.
And it's definitely a change in the physique.
And then if you take that and you're, you know, something that I did when my shoulder kind of healed up, I had a small labrum tear. That's my most recent injury, so I couldn't even put the bar on my back for a squat. So I basically just did a bunch of lightweight, you know, fitness stuff, whatever. When I reintroduced pull-ups, it was every day for week one, I would do 3 sets of 5. Next week, I did 3 sets of 6. Then I would do 4 sets of 5, then 4 sets of 6. And, you know, like with body weight stuff, it's so cool because you can just keep adding stuff to it to mix it up. Add another rep or add more sets or something like that. And you can just really, yeah, you can definitely kill it. You know, switch your grip up with push-ups, switch your grips up with pull-ups. And, I mean, you can probably, yeah, I mean, you can build a really solid body and get a really killer workout. A calisthenic workout would kill me right now. Absolutely crush me.
I remember, I think like last year, I bought one of those like pull-up bars that you hang on your door frame. And I just started like killing it every single day on that pull-up bar. And I got to the point where I did damn near like 30 pull-ups.
That's awesome.
Like nonstop. I was like so proud of myself. And then I don't know what happened. I just kind of stopped. Right now I could probably bust out like 10.
And then be dead for a week.
And be like dead for a week. I don't know how the hell I did like 30 straight.
That's awesome. Dude, yeah. Pull-ups are crazy.
Pull-ups are crazy, bro.
One of the coolest videos I've ever seen, one of the coolest feats of strength was there's this dude, I can't even pronounce his name, but like in short, it's KK, and he was a Russian powerlifter. He had like a 950-pound deadlift and shit like that, and he was like 275 pounds-ish, somewhere floated up to 300. Anyway, he actually just died in a street fight in Russia. He got stabbed to death.
What?
I don't know who the hell tried to pick a fight with this guy because he looks like a bear, but...
Is it this guy?
Apparently it was five guys on one. Look up KK. Yeah, God. That guy.
Is that him?
That's him.
Bro, who the hell would want to fight this guy?
And there's a video on there where he does like some 30 pull-ups or something. And at that kind of weight, that's just unheard of.
He does 30 pull-ups?
Yeah, he's typing KK pull-ups. It's insane.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Dude, those Russian people are...
And that's natural?
No. Hell no.
Okay. What kind of drugs is that
guy? I'd probably run him on Test, Deca, D-Ball, or Anadrol, and Epicores.
Yo, all right, so I got a serious question here. Okay, so, like, when it comes to lifting naturally versus, like, on drugs, like, could you get to the point where you get on drugs doing it naturally? Would it just take longer?
There's some dudes at the gym who... And this isn't to toot my own horn, but there's some dudes who are definitely on drugs and, you know, I can outlift them and I'm 40 pounds lighter than them. Granted, they are using their drugs for a different purpose. They're using it to build a... I cannot build a physique like that. Yeah. In general, it's probably easier to get to a better point with strength without drugs than it is to get to a better point with physique without drugs. There's a certain level with the physique that you are just not going to touch without steroids. And it's a lot lower than people think. But drugs, up until a certain point, drugs will make everything go a lot, it'll go a lot faster. It'll be a lot easier. You'll recover a lot faster. You'll feel better for the most part. in the gym, you'll feel better. Outside of the gym, you might not, but
yeah.
Drugs, the steroids are very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. So... Hopefully that.
Drugs. So, well, I'm gonna start today, guys.
All right. So if you want,
get on it.
So if the listeners want the phone number to my steroid plug, it is
Finiplex on Amazon.com.
555-5555.
Type in Finiplex on Amazon.com. Finiplex. God, that dude's huge. Seriously, yeah, who the hell would fight that guy? 55 pull-ups?
55 pull-ups, bro. That is like ridiculous. 300
pounds almost?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, that's pretty impressive.
Would you ever go on steroids?
No. I've thought about it many, many times. It's just... If my main thing in life was powerlifting, yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, it seems to be like a theme with a lot of the people that go on there. I was watching this this video of this one guy, and he would do it like, I think they do it like 2 days in a row, and then they stop, and then it's like, he's just huge, but it's like a lifestyle for them. It's just their life. It's just what they're into. And
there's... Once you go on for the first time, and again, I've never done steroids, but I do powerlifting and I just see stuff, and I'm also just of any variety. I love and am fascinated by drugs. So needless to say, I've done quite a bit of research on this kind of stuff. And there's a couple of guidelines that, and this is not 100% true, but I try to stick to this. If someone's making a living off of their physique, they're probably on steroids. If someone's a professional athlete or a world record holder in any physical sport, they're probably on steroids. And that's just that's just the reality behind it. And I don't mean that in a bad way, and that certainly isn't shitting on people.
Right, right.
And if you have in your Instagram name Lifetime Natty, you're probably on steroids. And you're also an asshole because you're selling a false thing to, you're selling false expectations to kids. So yeah, that way they can buy your stupid cookie cutter workout program. Yeah. That's why I think people need to be more educated about this stuff. It's because people are lying to you and they're stealing.
Speaking of that exact same thing, I saw this video online of this dude who was trying to like debunk these like supplements that these people were selling. So he like went to the company, like talked to the models and stuff, and he's like, you know, like, do these supplements work? And the guy was like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, supplements work. He's like, you know, like, are you taking it? He's like, yeah, yeah, you know, like, I take the supplement every day. And he's like, you know, but I'm also on steroids.
Yeah, this guy Chris Bell did a really great documentary. It's on Netflix, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And that's where I would start off with. It's a lie. Everything out there, supplements, I mean, maybe take your creatine, but beyond that, I mean, nothing is ever going to come close to 250, even just 250 milligrams a test a week, which is slightly above like an actual doctor prescribed hormone replacement therapy dose. Yeah, that right there. That. I recommend that to everyone I know.
Faster, stronger.
It's very enlightening. It can kind of be a little heartbreaking at the same time because all these people that we look up to as being, you know, great. You know, it's America. It's the top athletes. It's shocking how many of them fail drug tests. I'm not just talking about steroids. I'm talking about just PEDs and performance enhancing drugs in general. But it's... There's also this big misconception. This is another one that I don't like, is I'm not 300 pounds of muscle, therefore I can't be on steroids. And that's just not true at all. You can take steroids at 130 pounds in the MMA. I mean, steroids they're incredible, but they're not going to make you huge overnight. I mean, it's just messed up. All this stuff out there, and it's just the fitness industry is pretty it can be pretty dark behind the scenes and all that stuff. And it's just last year alone we had a couple of top bodybuilders. Dallas McCarver died at 23 years old.
What?
Holy.
He was a Mr. Olympia prospect. Now granted, he had some precondition with his heart, but when you're taking
steroids can make that worse.
Steroids can and will make that worse. Rich Piana, who was very open about his steroid use, he finally died. He was an addict. And here's the thing. If you can use steroids responsibly and you can use them in a healthy manner, you know, generally speaking, time on equals time off. You know, run your proper ancillaries. You know, get your blood test. Tell your doctor what you're doing. Be honest with him. Get your blood work done. And you can generally be okay. But since it's illegal and... it's not something that's talked about. Most people don't know how to responsibly do these things, how to responsibly run them. So you can run them safely and effectively. You got to come off at some point. But these pros who make their living off their physique, you can't. You can't. They need you to look like this. So some guys outlive others, but I mean, we're never going to know about the actual health implications. You know, the health shit that people like Arnold deal with, like, and you know, a bodybuilder's never going to come out and be like, yeah, my dick doesn't work because I took steroids poorly, or I have cirrhosis in my liver because I ran too many orals. You're never going to hear about that. You're also never going to hear about our beloved athletes failing drug tests, especially if someone is paid to cover it up. Now, this isn't to discredit these people at all. And, you know, we also have drug-tested powerlifting meets. And the one that I compete in is a drug-testing meet. I've never been drug-tested in it, but it is drug-tested. And it doesn't even mean drug-free, though. It just means it's a lot harder to get away with it, and you probably can't run as many compounds. But I put it like this. The top, if you combine the drug-tested and the non-drug-tested powerlifting numbers, the top guys all compete in drug-tested. Most of them, well, pretty much all of, like, seven out of the top 10, if you do it, you know, ratio to weight to lifts, they all compete in a drug tested federation, but they're stronger than the dudes who are allowed to run however much gear they want, which, you know, maybe that just says that the drugs aren't everything, but.
Yeah. So steroids versus testosterone, what's the deal right there? I know testosterone, you can also take that to build muscle and stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, testosterone is a steroid, and generally like a first cycle is just taking a slightly above natural level of test. I don't know the specific dosages, but a testosterone replacement therapy for a dude who's like 50 and his dick doesn't work or whatever, because this is what it's prescribed for. One of the many things. I mean, he may be prescribed 150 milligrams of test cypionate a week. Take 250 of that and you're going to get some solid gains. You're going to get some really, really good gains. So testosterone is the base, but you have a wide variety of other chemicals out there. Epicoids or boldenone EQ is used on racing horses because it increases their red blood cell count and increases their endurance. And you put that in a human and you increase your red blood cells, your vascularity is going to go up because your blood's going to thicken and your endurance is going to improve dramatically. It's a very slow and long lasting ester, but you take that, for example, then you take trenbolone, which is, you know, when you Google big fucking cow or whatever and you see those cows that are all muscular, yeah, that's trenbolone. And a human one day decided, let me take that. And trenbolone is incredible.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. A hold my beer kind of thing. What all of them have in common, though, is that they will shut down your natural test production. They're not a substitute for it, but they will shut it down. So you're going to have a base of regular testosterone no matter what you're running. So you can't just run trenbolone. Well, you can, but you're going to run into problems. And they all do different things. I mean, all this stuff is really great for what it was designed for, which is to prevent muscle atrophy in, you know, terminally ill people, for example. Mm-hmm. So that way they don't lose all their muscle and they can hold on to weight and stuff like that. So from a medical standpoint, it's incredible and it's really effective and it's changed a lot of people's lives and it's really helped people.
But so, then there's the people that don't need it that take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sure. In this video that I was watching, this guy's counts of testosterone were, I think, 3,000, and like a normal male, his age and his size, it's about 500.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do. I don't know if you would know about that, but like, what is the negative effects, or what's the repercussions of having that much testosterone?
The negative effects are generally, it varies compound to compound. But if we're just gonna take regular testosterone, you're generally gonna get hit with one of three things: balding, acne, or gyno, which is bitch tits, which is where you grow the lumps underneath your nipples. So if some dude has some puffy ass nipples and he says, I'm a natural bodybuilder, okay, sure. Or, you know, you get those like 20-year-old dudes who have so much acne all over their face and, you know, and I mean, that's not like a giveaway, but that's going to be the main three. What also happens when you take testosterone, your estrogen levels are going to rise to try to balance out, because there's a ratio that your body wants to maintain. So when you're in a man, if your estrogen goes up, you retain and you hold on to more water, which increases your blood pressure. So that's a problem. So what you have to do is you have to take any number of aromatase inhibitors, which basically prevents that. If you take too much, then, and you have low estrogen, your joints are going to be really achy and really painful because you're not going to be holding on to enough fluid to keep it lubricated. So you get into this cycle of, you take something, then you take something to remedy the effects, and you take something to remedy the effects of that shit, and then you're just, there's a lot of shit that goes into it. It's not just sticking a needle in your ass and making gains. I mean, you can get away with being okay. Like, some of these people are fine, but if you don't properly remedy yourself, your balls aren't going to grow back properly and your dick's not going to be able to get hard. And that, I assume, would be very devastating to a 23-year-old man if definitely he can't get it up.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds terrible.
And people should just be aware that this can happen. Doesn't mean it will, but it can. Please know how to remedy it. Please know how to properly come off.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You'd think that I would have tried this stuff by now, but I have not.
Have you ever heard of the Synthol injections?
Oh,
Yeah, this shit's weird.
That, bro. Oh, it's my like, goodness, bro.
We're going to pull this up real quick to show you.
Kinda. Those dumbass dudes that inject that synthol oil. Bro, what is, like...
It's like...
It just looks bad. It doesn't even look good.
At least it looks horrible.
There's no strength behind that, I'm pretty sure, either. It's like, what?
At least with steroids, you look good, and you actually build muscle. This is just disgusting. Ew.
So you have heard of this before, right? You have seen this.
There's a lot of different types. There's like a PPO oil. There's a ton of different shit. The newest one, I don't remember the name of it, but it's not synthol, but you inject this thing that is made to trigger an inflammatory response in the muscle, so the muscle will swell up.
Oh, God.
And build scar tissue and look bigger. I guarantee the top pros use this at some point, but it's weird. It's weird. And this is abuse, by the way. The guys who use it right, you would never be able to tell. But this is disgusting and abuse.
This is just
weird. That guy looks like a balloon.
Dude, exactly. These dudes literally look like human balloons. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, these people are dumb. There's a famous like Russian Instagram dude who did it, and his synthol exploded and it like blew up his entire arm. He almost had to have it amputated this year.
Yeah,
that could happen.
He's back on synthol.
It's like basically just creating like a layer of that oil on your muscles, and it's like just
it's disgusting. Again, there's this guy out there, Boston Lloyd, who gets a lot of shit because he came out and spoke out. He's very open about his drug use, and he made like a massive 1-year transformation, and he kind of gives a middle finger to the fitness industry because he just wants to show people how effective steroids are. Doesn't have the best physique to show for it, but
his pecs are like weird. Yeah. They look like boobs.
I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but this stuff typically runs over in India and a lot of Eastern countries over there.
Yeah, those guys are Brazilian.
Brazilian too.
But yeah.
Yeah, these dudes are from Brazil.
These dudes look so stupid.
Dude's
just
stupid.
Dumb.
It's like their arms and stuff is so huge, and then you like look at their torso and like their boobs are flabby and like they've got like no muscle, like they like no six pack or like no even like their skin just looks flat.
Look at his freaking shoulders and his traps, I guess you can call them, right?
There's a video out of this dude Boston Lloyd, and he like shows the whole process, and it's just so much work for such a terrible return.
Exactly.
It's so dumb.
It doesn't look good.
No, and again, you can use it appropriately. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are top guys who are doing it to kind of like polish up an area. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people just do it just to get like an inflammation. But it's just weird.
What are some negative side effects of this besides having your arm blow up?
I honestly don't know too much about synthol because thankfully it's not really that popular.
Okay, well, that's
among like the average gym bro.
Yeah.
He's just taking some test and trend. It's generally not that popular, but it's sold as massage oil.
Synthol is like massage oil?
It's sold at, yeah, and bath salts are actually like bath salts. Like it's like the same kind of thing as that. It's sold as like, it's sold as a different product.
What I was looking up, this one, Potney, or whatever you call it, B12, it's like, it's used on animals. It's like when they get weak, or almost like a steroid for animals. And it can cause like heart disease as well, or if you have like high blood pressure and you're taking this, like one of those guys, I can't remember who, but he's got like health issues already, and then he's taking that, so it's like a risk for him.
Oh yeah,
but he's willing to risk it for, I guess, the look.
I mean, you're probably gonna run into some the guys who last forever doing this stuff, not the synthol stuff, because I don't know about that, but the guys like Sean Roden or Dexter Jackson. They probably have such great genetics where they don't need to use a lot of drugs, and their body probably just responds really well to them because it's hard to do this stuff for decades without coming off and staying relatively healthy.
So eventually it will catch up to you?
I would assume so, yeah. I think it does. I mean, it's not going to kill you. Like it's not like cocaine or heroin where it's like you do a shot and you just drop over, but
right,
it's going to exacerbate any other health problems you have, pretty much for certain. I mean, people report having like brown urine and shit like that because they're so dehydrated and their kidneys are just getting ripped apart.
Oh, God.
Cirrhosis, things like that. again, I say all this stuff, and I know I keep going back to it, but you can use this stuff responsibly. It's not the most dangerous thing in the world. It's just people. I'd argue probably 95% of people are very irresponsible with it.
Yeah.
They use it.
Like these guys.
They just look terrible. Just, why would you want to look like that? That's bad. Like,
apparently, they get a lot of ladies.
With that, I'm
apparently.
Sure.
They get all the ladies.
Sit on their balloons.
Right.
It's like, hey, kids, you want some synthol? Some
synthol. You think those type of drugs or steroids in general can become kind of addictive? Like,
oh,
you think people can become dependent? And
well, that's why I haven't used it.
Okay.
I mean, I am slightly worried about the health issues of it and the whole dick not working thing. Even if it's just 1 in 10,000, like, that still is pretty freaky to me.
Yeah, not risking it. Risking it.
Exactly. But yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you do this and it works. Like, that's the thing. The Rock Johnson said that they didn't work. That's horse shit. Oh my god, he had some interview where he said, yeah, I took them and it didn't work. That's bullshit.
He took what and didn't work?
Steroids.
Really?
Yeah, back in his WWE days. Well, he's a big actor. You can't just say I'd taken steroids and they were great. Yeah. And all. Dude, they work.
I've actually been wondering about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Like, right. Look at his before and after pictures. And he's, what, 50 now or something like that? In his 50s, and he looks like a literal piece of granite. So shredded. I mean, he looks great. He looks
became
awesome.
The boulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, he literally looks like a rock. His muscles are super, super dense, really low fat. High vascularity. Yeah. Natty. You know, there's other signs that you can look for too, like capped shoulders like that, like capped shoulders, capped traps. I mean, again, he looks great. It's just, he admitted that he's used steroids.
Do you think he's like still on something?
I would assume so.
You would think so? Like, at least something, right? To keep up.
Yeah. I mean, he looks great. He might even just be on like a low test dose, like 250 milligrams. I don't think he's taking like 9 different compounds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. A lot of people hear this and they call it lazy, but I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. You can get some serious results natural, though, but steroids are definitely addictive. I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Piana talked about that before he died. He talked about how he was addicted to it, and then you get to this point of this body dysmorphia where you don't know how you look anymore. You don't know how big you've actually gotten. You don't know any of that. You always just want to be bigger, you know, bigorexia.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, people just want to get bigger.
Very real thing. Like,
yeah,
more drugs.
Yeah,
more food. And I don't care how muscular you are, 320 pounds, that's really bad for your heart, no matter how big you, no matter how shredded you are. My thing is this: if I took steroids and my bench went up 50 pounds in 2 months, why would I come off? You know,
because
it's such a good result. I mean, you come off and your strength tapers down. I mean, there's a couple guys out there who are relatively open about their steroid use that I like to follow, and I salute them really hard for what they do, because they come off and their strength drops, like they're losing like 100 pounds on every lift.
Dang.
And you know what? Hats off to them, because they, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You can sprint through this shit if you want, and you're going to look like you're 40 years old when you're 22. You've taken so many steroids, but I don't think I can handle it, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I think I would cave way too quickly and just not come off, or say I'm going to come off and come off for like a week.
Just go right back.
Right.
That was long enough. So.
Damn.